Welcome to the show. I'm Jason Whitlock, and I'll tell you why Jerry Jones's legacy might be in trouble.
And I'm Colin Cowherd, and I'll tell you how Nick Saban just figured out how to fix college football. For yourself starts now. Nick for president in 2020.
College football's broken. How long y'all gonna be fixing college football? Y'all fixing it in the problems. All right, hello and welcome. We're joined today by two Super Bowl champs, Seth Joyner and Greg Jennings. Let's start with Colin Kaepernick, who may have new life in the NFL. Ravens quarterback Joe Flacco injured his back this week, and while it's unclear how long he'll be out, Kaepernick is being considered as a possible backup. Here's John Harbaugh today.
You know, I've known Colin really, you know, through my brother for many years, and we've talked and then got to know him really well when they scrimmaged here, and he and I have been talking, you know, throughout the summer a number of times. We've had some great conversations on the phone. I mean, it's really been a pleasure to talk to him and get to know him, and, you know, I like history and politics and stuff too, so... You know, we've had some debates, and it's been fun. And he's a great guy, and he's a guy right now that's being talked about. And we'll just see what happens with that. I think that's it'll all be speculation right now. But I think he's a really good football player. And as I said at the owners' meetings, I do believe he'll be playing in the National Football League this year.
All right, Cowherd, is Kaepernick a good fit for the Ravens?
He's unemployed. It's a job. That's a good fit. I mean, if you don't have work and you're offered a job. You know, beggars can't be choosers. I mean, 69 guys took a snap in the NFL last year. So I always felt like eventually somebody's going to need a guy to figure it out. But nobody's designing an offense for him. So this is really all about Colin Kaepernick. Is he all in? Is he coachable? Is he totally passionate? He's not going to get multiple chances. I mean, if he goes there and people determine, word gets out, he's not all in, he's, you know, distracted, not getting another chance. So I it's a job. I think you have to be happy with it.
Look, playing for a Harbaugh would be a good fit for him. Greg Roman's on the coaching staff.
Yes.
That's a good fit for
yes.
him. I don't think Baltimore is the right city for him. Mm. Baltimore is a city still racked by the Freddie Gray homicide and the protests and riots they had there. It's a Black Lives Matter headquarter. I think Colin Kaepernick in Baltimore is a major, major story that has nothing to do with football. So I don't see it as an ideal fit.
I look at it, you know, from the other perspective of it being such a African-American city. The pushback that John Mara talked about in New York, you're probably not going to have that as much in Baltimore with as many Black Americans that are there in that city. The other thing, it's a heavy military city as well. You know, and some of the things that have been talked about, the presumption has been made that he's anti-military, anti-police. Be a perfect opportunity for him to once again, because he's already done it earlier, to go in, open a dialogue with the police, open a dialogue with the military, pull them on board to help resurrect where he is. It's the perfect place for him to be, in my opinion, because of the Harbaugh and the Roman factor. You know, and you got to consider Colin Kaepernick. You know, when he was on San Francisco and John Harbaugh was there, Jim Harbaugh, he just kind of smoothly rolled along. They ran Harbaugh out of town. Thomas Sulo came along. There was no development there. Chip Kelly for 2 years, he was hurt. There was no development there. So you can essentially say over the last 3-4 seasons, Colin Kaepernick has not developed and has not progressed as a quarterback at all. So this is a perfect situation for him to be in. Perfect scenario for him to be in to continue his growth as a player with some coaches that he's familiar with in a city that can probably wrap their arms around him.
Yeah, I completely disagree. From a football perspective, when I look at what Joe Flacco presents for that team, he's a pocket passer. He's not outside the pocket, outside the tackles. That's not them. That's not their offense. They're a run-first offense. That's what they've always wanted to be. When I look at Colin Kaepernick, he doesn't fit that mode. Now, as you alluded to, it's a job, absolutely. And I think that even with that, he wouldn't even be the backup to Joe Flacco. He would be a safety valve of Ryan Mallett. Like, that's going to be their guy.
Yeah, Mallett actually is a poor man's Flacco.
Absolutely. Like, that's their guy. But as a safety valve, I don't think it's bad to be interested or show interest in Colin because he has experience and you have that safety net.
I still contend, I think you said this, I think Seattle's really a perfect fit.
No, I don't believe that, but anyway, I think you said that.
Okay. Well, I mean, Colin is
Dallas
still...
Dallas is the fit for
well,
me.
Well, but I'll go to Seattle. The offense kind of works. Shaky O-line, need a mobile quarterback. It has always been very pro-player and pro-opinion. Like, Baltimore, I don't know. I kind of look at Baltimore and I think to myself, yeah, there's the Harbaugh connection, but that offense does not fit that player.
No, not at all.
It doesn't feel like it. Well, now, the social stuff maybe, but the offense, the player doesn't work for me.
But he's got to grow. You got to realize that Jim formulated an offense that worked according to his skill sets.
Right.
Okay, so now he's got to transform himself. And that transformation has
to... That's on Colin, though.
Well, it's on him, but it's on a coaching staff to put him in a situation where he can transform. And, Greg, to your point, listen, the running game is a quarterback's best friend, especially when mm-hmm. he's looked upon as a manager or a guy that's developing along the way. It's the perfect situation. If they're run first, play action pass is exactly the situation you want him in because he's not a pocket passer.
But can he make that throw down the field? That's what Joe Flacco does. That's what we see him as, is a deep down the field guy. Where that's why they have Mike Wallace. Steve Smith went over there.
By the way, difficult throws.
Absolutely.
This is like Bruce Arians' offense.
Absolutely. And I just don't see him being able to step in and make those throws.
I agree.
It is a running game is a quarterback's best friend. I totally get that. And if there's, to your point, though, he hasn't had an opportunity, and I don't know if that's on him or on the coaches that he's been with, to evolve as a quarterback, to grow as a quarterback. So I agree with you there.
One small point. Now, every time that a starting quarterback steps out of the starting lineup and the backup comes in, the playbook shrinks from here to here, okay? So now maybe you don't ask him to throw the ball so vertical down the field. Maybe you ask him to throw those short to intermediate, those check down passes, and try to complete first downs. You run the ball on first down, mix it up on second down, and on third down, you try to pick up the first down and third and short.
Let's stick with Kaepernick, whose national anthem protest may be over, but continues to reverberate. According to a new survey, Kaepernick's decision to kneel before games was the number one reason cited by fans who said they watched less football last year, ahead of issues like domestic violence and the presidential election. Whitlock, do you believe Kaepernick's protest turned off fans?
I want to be clear. Yes, I do. There's no question about some fans were turned off by Colin Kaepernick. Whether or not that led them to watching less football, I'm not sure. Again, as we've talked about on this show plenty of times, the Donald Trump election was so unique, it overshadowed everything. Now, having said that, what this survey gets at to me is if I'm a businessman in the NFL, the fact that a segment of my fan base, 24, 25%, whatever, is bothered by the protest speaks to how off-brand Kaepernick is for the job that he has. Football and television networks and Pete Rozelle connected football to patriotism, whether we like it or not. And that's why it generates so much money. Kaepernick's off-brand. He's bad for business. That's why teams are reluctant to have
him. I thought this was the most convoluted fake news I've ever read.
Thank you.
Thank you. Okay. I'm with you.
J.D. Power says only 12% of fans watch fewer NFL games. So 88% either watch the same or more. Of the 12% that watch less, 26% of those cited Kaepernick. I mean, you got to go. I like data. I'm into numbers. This is fake news. Virtually one
most
quarter.
Most studies and most polls are. But
this is complete fake news. By the way, according to Mike Mulvihill at our company,
yep.
Over 203 million people watched the regular season, a gain of 5 million over the previous season. This is not even, this is why the media gets a bad rap. This doesn't make any sense.
For sure. If the percentage was higher than the percentage of people that are actually still watching, then okay, yeah. And to your point, I think that it was something that would say to a fan, you know what, I'm going to disengage from watching.
It was off-brand.
I think it definitely was off-brand. But it wasn't just Colin Kaepernick. He started it, yes. But other players took off and sided with him and started kneeling. The national anthem is not something that is typically shown before the games, but we saw a lot of national anthems last year because of what Colin Kaepernick decided to do and take a stand for. So I think that there was definitely some stoppage of fans really engaging, but I believe, honestly, it's more of a...
Surveys.
49... Yeah, you said this yesterday.
Exactly.
You said this yesterday.
And I agree with that.
Let me ask you a question. If you answered the phone, and I was a beautiful woman's voice. Hello, Mr. Whitlock. We're doing a sex survey. How many times a week do you have sex? What would you say? As many as you could make up.
3 to 20 times.
I mean, have you ever been called for a survey? Are you totally honest? They got a hold of some people who are pro Kaepernick. This is convoluted. Listen,
Jason said yesterday that I could take a poll of women in America, that I'm the most beautiful man in the world. Okay, and if I pay him enough, I can get a thousand of them to agree, okay? So when I look at these numbers, this is what it speaks to me, okay? At the end of the day, you had the presidential election, which was very riveting and huge. So when you look at the numbers, games 7 through 16, there was only a 1% drop-off from 2015 to 2016, okay? And then, to Colin's point, 5,000 more viewers, 5 million
more
viewers.
Yeah, 5 million more.
The following year. So, I mean, listen, you can misconstrue the numbers and make them look however you want.
In my lifetime.
This whole thing is a bunch of nonsense.
In my lifetime, in your lifetime, who's the oldest guy sitting here? That's right, me. Okay, there's never been anything like Donald Trump.
Yeah, that's true.
I mean, seriously, you're going to tell me, by the way, Fox News' ratings, CNN, they stole some guys. They stole some eyes.
Let me get to the larger point that everyone's dodging around. Look, the survey, there's some bogusness to it. But it's getting at a larger point. None of you guys have been business tycoons like I came from. My dad was a business tycoon. Okay. We ran a little bar in the inner city in Indianapolis, Masterpiece Lounge, world famous. And listen, when you run a business, and again, I know
I like
this
that
is new
drop.
To you guys. You guys, this is new to you all. When you run a business, your customers start complaining about the service or you're not pouring enough alcohol in the drink or whatever. They don't leave immediately. If it continues over time, they do leave.
Right.
And so if this is the larger truth to me from this poll. If this protest stuff and they want to bring all these liberal values and progressive values into football, which has been built on conservative and patriotic values, eventually people are going to say, you know what? This ain't what I signed up for.
That part.
I don't want to see all your protests. You're making too much damn money. You don't even understand this country. You run around in Fidel Castro shirts and Huey P. Newton shirts and pissing on America, and I'm tired of it.
Now, that part.
That will happen.
By the way, Masterpiece Lounge was never short on alcohol.
Never. Never. Great service.
Took care of its customers.
The world famous
Welcome back, Seth Joyner, Greg Jennings. Here we go. Let's move to a new controversy surrounding Michael Vick, who just joined the Chiefs coaching staff as an intern, which apparently has some people up in arms. The editorial board of Whitlock's old paper, the Kansas City Star, says that Vick does not belong on the Chiefs coaching staff, writing, quote, "Listen, we don't understand how thinking it was highly entertaining to watch trained pit bulls fatally attack family pets might make the former star pro quarterback just the right guy to mentor and mold other football players." All right, Whitlock, you surprised people haven't gotten over Michael Vick's past?
I think people, for the most part, have gotten over Michael Vick's past. I think, and I love the Kansas City Star. I made my name there. This is trolling. This is beneath the editorial board of the Kansas City Star. This is embarrassing in my opinion. This is something that a blogger, a child blogger, would put out. Not the editorial board that is supposed to be filled with experienced people that understand that for a large segment of the African-American community, male community, that comes out of prison, this type of browbeating and shaming of them after they've served their time. It's completely inappropriate. The man is an intern. It's probably an unpaid position. What is he supposed to do? Work at 7-Eleven? Is that the only job that's available for a black man that's done his time in jail and comes out? Is that the only job available to him? This is irresponsible and embarrassing, and I worked at the Kansas City Star. I know the people at the Kansas City Star. They need to apologize to Michael Vick and black men and any other man that comes out of jail after they've done their time. This is an embarrassment.
Well, he was given another chance as a player, so why couldn't he be given another chance?
As an intern coach.
Yeah. I will say this, though. His business, I've worked with a couple people that were deeply offended. There is a connection between animals, dogs, American families. I understand being offended. That said, I don't really understand. The league welcomed him back. He has been a guest on NFL shows.
Tricks for clicks is what that is.
Well, I mean, really, I can remember when he was first coming back to the league, and there was a lot of people protesting and saying that he should never be allowed to play in the NFL again. The man spent 21 months in jail. 27 months in jail, okay? How in the world can you pay your debt to society and people still don't want you to earn a living? That makes
no intern.
That makes no sense to me. That makes no sense to me whatsoever. I mean, when I read this morning, I'm just like completely blown away that we're still dealing with this. People just need to get over it and move on, because once you pay your debt to society, okay, on some level, society has got to forgive you. Not necessarily forget, but they've got to forgive you, and you've got to be able to move on and be able to live your life and earn a living to take care of your family.
That's it right there. People forgive, but they never forget. But for me, like, what bothers me is we've never heard anything surrounding Michael Vick's name since his incident.
Yeah.
Negatively, not one. And then we have players in this league, and this is not to just compare, but I have to draw some parallels here. Domestic violence, in my eyes, is a lot worse than fighting dogs. Now, I'm you know, I don't own a dog. I used to, and that I'm not knocking people who are dog lovers, but there are a lot worse things that somebody can do. Having said that, he paid his time. He owned up to it. He got back reinstated by the league. He was welcomed by players, owners, and coaches. This is a guy who's been doing everything right since being...
I want to piggyback your point, Greg.
So why are we trying to, like, degrade what he's doing by pulling in his past? That's the problem with society.
I want to piggyback off what you said. The Chiefs' best young player is Tyreek Hill. He's a receiver slash running back that had domestic violence issues. This is why I call this trick for clicks. Where's the editorial saying Tyreek Hill shouldn't be on the football team? He's a player that's going to help them win. They're not going to do that. Mm-hmm. Michael Vick is a temporary intern, and so let's take this pot shot at him so that we're talked about and discussed, and this goes viral. This is beneath a serious newspaper, serious people. Again, it's an emotional issue for me because I got family that deal with this. Some family I'm very close to that deal with trying to move back into society mm-hmm. after making a mistake. And for the editorial board, serious people, to cut... The man's an intern. It's an intern. They didn't give him a $10 million a year job.
And by the way, if you remember when Michael played, and you guys know this as players, you were in mm-hmm. the league, and I'm not sure if you were when he first broke in, he was iconic among players.
Absolutely.
He was really beloved. I could make the argument that every staff should have a Michael Vick. Star wasted some talent, made mistakes, some redemption, grown and matured. Like, there's real value mm-hmm. to having a guy who's played among players, screwed up, wasted years, and has redeemed himself. Like, I'm surprised more people haven't offered Michael Vick coaching opportunities. He knows the truth about the league. Your career
does.
Is this long, don't mess it up.
Kansas City Star did was racist, and they should apologize. To Dallas, where Jerry Jones is still waiting to hear whether Ezekiel Elliott will be suspended over allegations of domestic violence. But even if Zeke avoids discipline, the Cowboys continue to outpace the rest of the league with 15 suspensions for a total of 100 games over the last 4 years. Jerry's about to go into the Hall of Fame next week, but has long been known for his tolerance of bad behavior. Colin, will this hurt his legacy?
No, it is his legacy. He's Evel Knievel. Crashes did not hurt his legacy. They empowered it. He was the only guy willing.
He ain't going to the Hall of Fame for this.
Jerry's going into the Hall of Fame for a lot of reasons. Jerry's a risk taker. He's an oil rigger. He's a pushback in the league and do a Pepsi ad. He has give Greg Hardy a chance. Mm-hmm. He's bring T.O. into town. Jerry is the stuntman in a world of actors. Jerry's image is contrarian, loose, vanity, ego. He has been not the wealthiest owner. He has been the most aggressive owner. He's Mark Cuban, like not always loved by the commissioner. I don't think it hurts his legacy. I think his legacy is this.
I think it's going to hurt his legacy because I see, and I like Jerry Jones, mm-hmm. and I support I like Jerry Jones and his philosophy, to be quite honest with you. But I see the media brewing up a storm for Jerry Jones. Again, they've got him. The Lucky Whitehead mistake is directly related to the tolerance that he's shown so many other players. And this is all just going to build up because Jerry's now playing into the game. They cut Lucky Whitehead trying to play the optics in the political game. Jerry Jones got off brand. And now he and the lack of discipline issues and the players he supported just continues to become a bigger and bigger media narrative, and it's going to be used to diminish this guy. And instead of people talking about him being a pioneer and a trailblazer in the NFL, it's going to all be about how he handled discipline. It's all about, he's a worse kind of Al Davis. I don't think this is good.
Well, I disagree. And I disagree because the NFL has always been about production and winning. Mm-hmm. Jerry Jones bought this franchise. It was in the basement of the NFC East.
Yep.
He flipped it, turned it around with Jimmy Johnson, 3 Super Bowl rings, bucked the system, made a boatload of money and polished the star as far as football fans are on a national basis, built the monument that is the AT&T Stadium down in Dallas.
Helped move the Raiders to Vegas.
In the interim, we as the media will talk about what Jerry has done, his leniency, you know, with players who operated and played outside the line, so to speak. We'll talk about all of those things. But history has always told me that over time, time cures and kills all things. When he steps aside and his son Steven takes over as the sole decision maker of the Dallas Cowboys, when Jerry Jones is laid to rest, the only thing people will remember about Jerry Jones is he resurrected the Cowboy organization. They won 3 Super Bowls and all the great players that came out of there.
You said something that it trumps everything. He's won. With what he's put together down in Dallas, with what he's been able to do, it's worked. And we haven't, right now, currently, like you said, presently, they're experiencing a lot of issues off the field that he can't control. He can't control and puppet those guys off the field in the offseason. But if it turns out and Dallas wins again, he wins. But even if he doesn't, his legacy is already imprinted. It's imprinted. He's already won. So you can't take that. You can't discredit him from what he's done.
He's the Richard Branson of the airline.
If you go to another league, let's go to the NBA really quick. L.A. Clippers right out here, Donald Sterling. His legacy, he didn't win. He put together a team that just couldn't do it. And then on top of that, he even made it worse by all the things that took place.
Y'all forgetting something.
What are we forgetting?
That Jimmy Johnson gets most of the credit for those 3 Super Bowls.
And who so brought, what has who Jerry brought him
done
there?
Since Jimmy? I get Jimmy Johnson gets most of the credit. Who brought him there is irrelevant. Jimmy Johnson is the face of those championships. Jerry hasn't won a Super Bowl since. This is going to hurt. It's going to leave a mark and a stain. And I like Jerry Jones mm-hmm. and think to some degree he's being treated unfairly. But he hasn't handled all of this to me in the best way, and I think people are going to use it against
him. I'll ask you, how many organizations have three Super Bowl championships under a specific owner's tenure? That will trump everything.
Let's move to our next president, Nick Saban. I love this. He had a lot to say yesterday about how to fix college football's playoff, suggesting a system where the Power Five teams only play each other, thank you, and where the postseason looks more like the NCAA tournament. Explained our future president, quote, like, now you can have a different kind of scheduling that is more fan interest, more good games, bring out the better quality teams. All right, Whitlock, would an all Power Five schedule be not just good, but amazing for college football?
No. As a mid-major, mid-major player, I still remember going up to Wisconsin and playing. Listen, you got to remember, this is about the kids. I know we've reduced it down to it's about the fans and it's about TV ratings. It's allegedly about the kids and their experience. It's not just some TV show that we're programming and how can we get higher ratings. That's what Nick Saban's doing here. He's giving in to the rest of the media that all they care about in college football is what's best for the fan rather than what's best for the player.
I'm going to put a graph up. What you're telling me is you, Jason Whitlock, want more of this. Those games.
You know one of the favorite games I watched last year?
Oh, give me a break.
Was Central Michigan going up to Oklahoma State.
Absolutely.
And upsetting.
Yeah, yeah. You know what the game I like?
On a Hail Mary pass.
Oh, controversy.
Absolutely.
Refereeing.
Yeah, sorry.
Tremendous game.
Yeah, you know what game I liked? Alabama-Clemson.
So did I. We had that.
We'll get that.
Yeah.
We'll get to that in the playoffs. But for me, it's totally to your point. It's about the players. It's about the kids. I was at Western Michigan, a Mid-American Conference, where I had the best opportunity when I had a Michigan State across from me or Virginia Tech. That was my time. That was my moment. That was my shining moment.
Oh,
so you
like
mean
you
to
could...
take that away? When we wouldn't. There would be no Appalachian State, Michigan. There would be no Central Michigan, Oklahoma State.
And what if there wasn't? College football wouldn't survive?
No, it would be. It would be devastating, but... because you have those colleges, those students who go to those games, who support those games. They don't get that opportunity to play those big schools. That would be terrible.
So you think big guy should support little guy?
Absolutely.
Why don't you pay for some young sports writers now on the blogs that are struggling?
Because at the end of the day, at the end of the day, the playoffs, they're going to play each other eventually anyway. So we'll get to see that. But why water it down when we've seen
it? Why is it USC's job to save Chattanooga?
It's not about saving.
No.
It's about everybody gets to participate in the big show and gets to play a Nick Saban. One of my best moments as a fan of Ball State, I was on the sidelines. We went to play Nebraska and should have beat them. We dropped the damn touchdown pass in the final 10 seconds and would have beat them. It's one of the great moments of my life as a fan. It was one of the great moments of those kids' lives as players.
When does AAA baseball get to play the bigs? When do the Yankees play the...
This ain't AAA baseball.
No. Okay, I've got a remedy. I've been thinking about this, okay? I don't like seeing those games either, Colin.
Thank you.
But for those schools, that's a big deal. Not only does David have an opportunity to slay Goliath, but the money that it means to those programs as well. So I don't want to see a whole bunch of those games, but what I would like to see is the first two games of the season should be designated where they can play these FCS, these mid-major teams, okay? After that, whatever games are left before they get the conference play, they have to be against the Power Five. And then your conference schedule is the last 7-8 games of the season. So now you don't play a conference team the first week of the season when you're trying to figure out who you are and what your new quarterback is going to do. But you give the little guys a nod at the beginning, first two games, then the rest, all Power Five, and then you get into your conference.
First of all, does the Wall Street Journal know that they employ a socialist? I mean, seriously, since when is scheduling uncompetitive athletics good? These games, Troy State, Chattanooga, they come in. They used to call those body bag games. Guys get hurt. The other team doesn't get better. Fans pay money, show up, and it's 76-12.
You know when they're good, Colin? You know when they're good? When you get the upset. When you get the upset.
When
Appalachian State goes into Michigan and knocks them off,
exactly. It's
big news.
The only way you get that is to let them continue
playing. Boise State doesn't count.
If you're at a smaller school and you're an athlete and you're playing, would you want an opportunity to play these bigger schools?
No. You know
yes,
what?
You would,
you
Colin.
You would have made the NFL anyway.
But it enhanced my opportunity. It created
how?
More. It gave me more eyeballs to when I went to these interviews.
You know
when
what they, got you a job? Those things. Hands.
You're right, but they had to see me against what they would classify
point,
as bigger.
I'm
and
missing
better
the point.
I'm missing the point. When you're Greg Jennings, and Greg, you played on good Western Michigan teams,
it was
and when
terrible.
Is that right?
Yeah, we just beat y'all all the time.
Okay. But anyway. When that Nebraska or Michigan's on the schedule during the offseason, it drives
absolutely.
You. It, oh, man, I'm going to get a piece of Jabril Peppers or who are one of these guys that everybody thinks is so much better than me.
Really quick point. I got recruited by Michigan. I verbally committed to the University of Michigan. They pulled out like almost 2 weeks before signing day. I had to fall back on Western because everybody had already dispersed their scholarships. And we had Michigan on the schedule the following year. Lloyd Carr comes up and he says this in the media, you know, that they have players who probably believe that they should be on our sideline, in our uniform, playing for us. I felt like he was talking to me. You talking to me. Yeah, I feel like that. And I'm going to give you the best of what I got when
Greg,
I get there.
I understand your point because my freshman year at UTEP, we played against six nationally ranked teams. We had no business whatsoever on the field. But what it did is it gave me a glimpse into what it was I needed to do to prepare to play at that level. We played against Craig James and Eric Dickerson. We played against Washington. We played against ASU with Vernon Maxwell and Derek Clack and all of those guys. We played against those guys. I mean, they beat us like a drum. But for me, I looked at it and said, I got to get to
that. I want you home on Saturday night watching Alabama Mercer. Don't go to a steakhouse. Don't go to Vegas for the weekend. I want you watching that football game.
I'll be watching Ball State,
Sports
Illinois.
Socialist.